what's going to happen. And he can be there when you were born still and before you were born. And he's an amazing God. But we have to go through linear time. So we're breaking into the future every breath we take. It's an amazing thing. So we don't know what's going to happen. I'm appreciative of everybody that's here this morning and everybody that's listening from home. We bless you. You are awesome. And we look forward to what God's going to be doing. You know, staying at home while there's a battle on is something that God endorses. The people that were with Gideon, he started out with, I don't remember the actual number, 20-something thousand men. And God said, anybody want to stay home? Want to go home? Go home. And he ended up with 300. None of them had swords, and they fought one of the greatest battles in history. David, when he was robbed of his family and his goods at Ziklag, he left some people behind, and they shared in the wealth.
Amen.
So staying at home is as good a decision as coming in this time, as far as being in the Lord. I think that there is something very special about us coming together as a community, that corporate worship, seeing one another, encouraging one another, and being with one another. I think there is something that ignites our spirits in that. And so I really enjoy getting together, seeing you. So bless you. I'm going to preach this morning. Oh, look, and I'm starting right at 11. That's awesome. From the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, starting in verse 35. We'll read it in just a second, but this is one of those foundational concepts for me in the kingdom. When you recognize what comes out of this scripture reading and what's behind it, it probably will be for you if it already isn't. But Jesus promised us, in this life you will have tribulation. That's a promise. It doesn't say you may have tribulation. You're going to go through stuff. Everybody does. It's what you do when you're going through the stuff. It's what you do coming out of the stuff that makes a difference. In this life, you will have tribulation. But that is also the guy who is called Prince of Peace. And he said, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Elsewhere, it describes his peace as beyond the world's understanding. The peace I give you is beyond understanding. It's something that is deeper and more rich. And out of that, we come to our rest. And in our rest, we can weaponize our rest against the enemy, because the enemy wants us busy all the time and making poor decisions because we're tired. Rest is huge to us. Out of peace comes an inner joy. When we've been with our Savior, there's this inner joy that kind of bubbles up in us. And that's the word for the year. It's really hard to look at it from this vantage point and say, God, you gave me a word that said joy as expressed in laughter. For this year?
I'll take it.
Yeah, because the year's not nearly over yet. And we're always tested in this stuff. So let's read. Just before we do that, does anybody have a word? I just had a nudge. Somebody getting anything from the Lord? So it's...
Can I just say something?
There, you're the one. Okay. You don't have to, but I'm going to beat you with it if you don't.
I just find that earlier when we were doing the worship, and I was thinking of the word joy this year, and before this all happened, I was struggling because I was dealing with confrontations with regarding how I believe and what I believe in the things of the Lord, and it was stealing my joy. And so I had to choose, am I going to choose joy or am I going to choose, oh, woe is me or poor me or self-pity or whatever. And I chose joy, and I keep decreeing over myself. I just got some scriptures, and I read them over myself, and I say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. This is the day the Lord has made. I will real rejoice and be glad in it. And I spoke it forth because faith is voice activated. And welcome. And it's so important that we speak it out. And I notice that there's such a pressure for me to spew the negative. But when you want to stand in faith and decree what God says about us, because it's all within us, He lives inside of us, to bring it to the surface, we need to, it's voice activated, we need to speak it forth.
Good.
And eventually our heart will follow in line.
Yes.
This is out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And at first, some people say, well, I don't feel it. But it doesn't matter. The truth is the joy of the Lord is our strength, and it's inside of us, and we just need to draw it out. It's like grace is His part, He's done it for us, but faith is our part, and there's a bridge. The bridge, you have to bridge it to bring it from the unseen realm into the seen realm.
Yeah.
The joy is there, and even making yourself laugh, it is stupid, but if you're doing it in faith, you're saying, no way, I'm not going to let the enemy lie to me anymore. He's there, and the joy is our strength through this time. And he's faithful. Faithful, faithful.
Amen. That's a sermon right there. Well done. Thanks, Shelley.
And I was, when Pastor Randy started talking about the joy as expressed in laughter, I felt like just yesterday, I got it. I get it. The joy is expressed in laughter. I have not laughed so much as I have in these days that we've been dealing with this virus. I've seen the funniest things people have sent to me, and there's just so much, I just think that there's so much release, and it is true that you have to almost agree that you're just going to take the joy. And I don't, like, there's a lot of sorrow, and it's not minimizing the difficult things that people are going through with that. But there's this thing that just comes when you get all worried and scared, or if you really are sad, the Lord, He just provides relief, and it is through laughter, and He laughs, and because ultimately we're all going to be with Him anyway, and so that's the greatest joy of all. And so here we're making our way through difficult circumstances. It's not easy. It's, you know, and the uncertainty of it is the worst. But if we can do it laughing, that I think that that's what's going to be a draw for people who don't even know the Lord. They're going to wonder, well, why are you okay? Why? And, you know, laughter attracts people. And so if the people of God are smiling and they're lighthearted and making, you know, communicating with the people that they're in line with for an hour and a half, you know, things like that, you know, with distance. But I've had wonderful conversations with people and been able to bless them. And so I just feel like the word that Pastor Randy gave, joy as expressed with laughter, it wasn't just joy, because you can feel joy, but the word was as expressed with laughter. So God specifically said, I'm giving you laughter this year. I'm giving you laughter. So if that's from the Lord, there's a reason for it. There is, that's the truth. The Lord wants us to be laughing. So I am appreciating that word.
Well, we'll say thank you, Lord, for it. Yes. I wouldn't have picked it myself. he's so good, isn't he? Let's read. Mark 4. Verse 35, on that day, when evening had come, he, that's Jesus, said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. Yikes. But he was in the stern, in the back of the boat, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Oh, that's our God. He's the God that said, "Let's go to the other side." You think there was any chance they weren't going to get there? He said they're going, they're going. It's an amazing thing. So what I want to focus on today is the principle of what's here. The enemy somehow knows when something great is going to happen in the kingdom. And when something is about to break through in your life, when something is, you're about to go to a whole nother level, is the time when he will strike you, a preemptive strike, to try and take you out, to try and get you off your game, if you would, but get you off the thing that got you to where you are in God right now. He's going to do something that tries to trip you up. Somehow, he's aware of timing in the kingdom. Because you'll see, if you read just a little bit further than where we stopped in chapter 5, they're going to the Gadarenes or Gerasenes, depends on how they interpret that. But they're going to this place where this guy who is so strong that people can't contain him, he's all bound up with demons. The story of Legion comes out of what happens next, you know, all of those demons going into the pigs and going off the cliff and making everybody upset. This is one of the greatest confrontations, light versus darkness, in the Bible. Nothing like Calvary, but it's still pretty good. And it was about to happen. Now what? The very first thing as they got to the other side was that he, the Gadarene demoniac, saw Jesus from afar and ran and fell down before him, crying out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" How did he know he was coming? And how did he know that it was him he was coming after? How did he know that? And if he knew that, the rest of the demonic realm knew that. This was an incredible confrontation. This was the star in the of the demon-filled people. This guy was huge in as far as the enemy's kingdom is concerned. This guy was an all-star. He was first team for the other side. And so this confrontation is coming. How are we going to stop that? Well, let's blow up some wind. Let's have a big storm and drown them all. Then our boy in the Gadarenes will be okay. He doesn't have to deal with this Jesus. Isn't that amazing what happens? So right before the breakthrough, right before the confrontation, right before the most incredible victory, and this is an incredible victory in the kingdom, came this preemptive strike by the enemy. And it happens, I've been watching, it happens all the time. People are about to have a breakthrough. They're about to see something different in their lives. They're about to get to a place and somebody pulls the rug out from under their feet. And they end up smack on the floor wondering what on earth just hit them. I'm going through the most terrible times here now, Pastor, and I had no idea it was coming. I'm just skipping through life, and kaboom. I'm covered over with a sackcloth and taken into a closet and beat up. What's going on? Well, you're about to take a new level in the kingdom. That's the beautiful thing about it. God wouldn't have you in that place unless he was fully convinced that you were going to win. Right? Because he's already seen it, right? You're the only one that doesn't think you're not going to win. Devil's hoping, but that's not it right now. So anyway, this is an incredible picture. Violent and destructive winds seemed to come out of nowhere to capsize the boat that Jesus was in and drowned him and his disciples in the middle of the lake. Verse 37 says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full." The picture of all of that is that this is a little boat in the middle of a great big body of water. The lake is a huge lake. You can see from one side to the other, but everything's really little on the other side. Notice that it says that the boat was already full. That's not full of people, that's full of water. They were about to go down. But it says, "And there arose." The phrase "there arose" is taken from the Greek word ginomai. G-I-N-O-M-A-I. Ginomai. And this word is used over 200 times in the New Testament. Greek word ginomai. It describes something that happens unexpectedly or something that catches one off guard. For instance, in Acts 10, verses 9 and 10, it describes how Peter received his vision, revealing, you remember the vision of the sheet being put down and you know, falling to the ground and animals and kill and eat, it said. And that was a picture of salvation coming to the Gentiles, right? But it says that Peter went up to the rooftop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. And while they made ready, he fell into a trance. That "fell into" is ginomai. It comes from that same word, ginomai, kind of an unexpected thing. He didn't go up to the roof and think, "Okay, I'm here, I'm going to go into a trance now." It fell upon him, ginomai. So he fell into this thing, slipped into it. It was an encounter with God that caught him off guard. When John tells us how he received the revelation, you know, like the last book of the Bible, it's not revelations with a plural, it's just one revelation of Jesus Christ. So when he received his revelation in chapter 1, verse 10, he uses this word, ginomai. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, And the phrase, I was, is also taken from that word, genomai. Therefore, we know that the usage of this word, John was not expecting to have a visitation that day. John was in the Spirit. He didn't expect to be in the Spirit. I was is the word genomai. It was an unexpected time with God. They didn't have a predestined time as far as John was concerned. It was an unexpected visitation from God, kind of a suddenly thing. And he found himself standing in the realm of the Spirit. Now, so this same word that contains the element of surprise is used in Mark 4:37 to plainly tell us that Jesus and his disciples did not expect that weather that night. Now, remember that these guys, some of them, were fishermen. They would have learned fishing as little kids because you did what your father did, right? You were trained in the family business. These guys would have been around water all of their lives. And there was at least three of them that were fishermen. And if they were about to leave the shore and they saw the makings of a storm or a squall or anything coming, do you think that wise fishermen that had lived as long as they had would put out into the water? No. They would have said, Jesus, let's go tomorrow. Let's make this another day, okay? Because look at those clouds. What they were left with was they left the shore expecting a calm crossing of the lake. Because they knew. They're going out in the evening. This is a nighttime move. It's going to take them some hours to get across. We don't know how much of a breeze there was or, you know, whether they were going to have to row across. Whatever it was going to take them some hours. You know, who knows? 2, 3, 4 hours to get across. And they would not have done that, I do not think. You can make up your own mind, but I don't think they would have set off from shore as master mariners on a troublesome night. But that word we've been looking at, genomai, there arose. Suddenly, there was wind. Suddenly, the wind came. So they're let off the hook. Jesus doesn't say, look at you guys, if you had known that this windstorm was coming, why did you let us go? You deserve to drown. Jesus didn't say that, and he's never going to say that to you. This thing came up, and it was demonic in its presence. It came up quickly. And then Mark tells us that it was a great storm of wind. Not just a storm of wind, but it describes it as a mega. That's the actual Greek word, mega. What does mega mean? Great big. I'm a mega pastor. No, don't pastor a mega church, but but you guys rock. Megaphone, right? It's going to get something said a long way out. Mega means big. It's a great windstorm that's come upon them. And so you notice also that it's not a thunderstorm or a rainstorm. It's a great storm of wind. The wind is taken from a Greek word. I can't even read it. It's too little. There we are. Stopped it. Oh, well. Anyway. Yeah, I'll put the glasses on. That would help. Be humble. Know you're receiving your healing. Laleipsai LALAIPSI. And it describes a turbulence or a terribly violent wind. Therefore, the storm that came against Jesus that night was an unseen storm. A person couldn't see this storm, but he could feel the effects of it. He couldn't see the storm. It was a wind storm. It wasn't a rain storm. It wasn't a thunderstorm. This thing, the wind, you feel the effects of the wind, right? But you don't see it. And does it feel that way sometimes? When stuff's coming against you, you can feel that something is coming against you. You can see the effects of this thing. Like what is the storm that's against us right now? If you just walk out into the parking lot there and you bring yourself to a place of peace and you notice what is in the atmosphere. I think there's two things. There's fear in the atmosphere right now, has been along the way, and you can feel it. And you can see the effects of it as you try and go shopping. You know, people go out of their way to stay away from you because they're afraid. But there's also a grief that's out there. I felt this kind of a gnawing in my heart this last week and a half or so. And I think the grief is the loss of what we viewed as normal. We have had a significant loss in our lives. So you can feel the effects of this storm. You know that it's been there. So these guys are going through this. It was an attempt by the enemy to destroy Jesus and his crew before they reached that other side, before they had this encounter that they knew was on the books. Oh, what's on for Tuesday? Oh, Gadarene demoniac. They're coming for us. That Jesus is coming for us. What are we going to do? Let's have a big windstorm. Let's get them. So the devil knew that Jesus' ship, if it reached the other side, he would lose his prized possession on that side of the lake. This Gadarene demoniac. Preemptive strike by the devil to undo the work of God. This is also a great opportunity for the disciples to learn that Jesus Christ is Lord of the wind and waves. And so we see that unfolding before us. After he exercised the authority over this unseen turbulence and spoke to the waves of the sea, the word says that the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Notice that? There's this mega wind, and then there is this great calm. So one of the principles of the kingdom is if you know what is happening in the kingdom, if you see what's out there, you move in the opposite spirit to it. You move in a kingdom spirit that is opposite of it. So if in this situation, there was a great wind, how do we come against that? We move in the opposite spirit, great calm. We release great calm, right? If you're moving in a place where there is a poverty spirit, you give. Poverty is about holding on. I never have enough. Billionaires can be under a poverty spirit because they're always getting more. How many billions do you need to get along? 8, 10? Is that enough? But they're always looking for more because they're under a poverty spirit. They're driven to hold on, get more. And so the way you come against that is you give into that. And most of the billionaires are not really good at receiving things. They're good at taking things, but not good at receiving. So it's moving in the opposite spirit to defeat this thing. And Jesus of course, knew that. So he brings a great calm, a great peace. So the fact that this was unleashed right before Jesus was about to see this great breakthrough with the Gadarene demoniac, it's not uncommon at all. We see it happening in our lives all the time. So what do you do if you're under a demonic attack? Good question. I'm glad you asked. First, you make sure that you've been diligent to cover all your bases by obeying the Holy Spirit's prompting in the various areas of your life. You will have been having nudges by the Lord. Do this. Be about that. Go here. But even if you haven't noticed them, or that you know that you have willfully disobeyed those, what does it take to close that area off? Like, this is just Kingdom 101 stuff. Please forgive me, Lord. Repentance is a gift. We repent, we move the other way. I intend to move opposite of that. I want to move with you, Lord, not against you. I want to hear your voice and I want to be obedient. Would you help me to do that? And out of that, you close off the way the enemy was using against you. Make sure also that to the best of your knowledge, you've left no doors open for an attack. If you are engaged in your favorite sin area, make sure you close that off if you're coming under a big attack like this, because it does happen in our lives. Close that thing off. Cut it off. Throw away all of the stuff that you would use in doing that stuff and change your life. Ask God for forgiveness. Ask God to help strengthen you so that you can avoid that stuff and move with God into it. Because if you leave that door open, you're going to have to go through this whole big storm again sometime in the future. Because God doesn't give us these things to see us fail in our tests. He gives it to us so we can pass. And when he gives it to us, we're prepared for that thing unless we're unwilling to give up the thing that he has for us. He is always doing a wonderful divine exchange with us. You give me that sinful area that's holding you back, and I will give you this other godly area. So we give up something and we get something. But the thing we get is worth way more in our lives than the thing we give up. And so he'll be looking for us to close the doors to those things. Now, this is going to happen to each one of us. Other than God loves you, God is good all the time, probably the most common principle that I review with people when I'm counseling is you're going to have wind and waves in your life. You're going to have wind and waves. What do you do with those wind and waves? God says, we're going to go to the other side because he has a plan for you, right? He's spoken to you in prophetic utterance. He has a plan for your future. And so you're going to go to the other side. We're going to get there. This isn't the end of it. We're going to get to the other side because he said that. That's how you know that David moved in wonder and in power and could run at the giant that was in front of him. This is someone that frightened every one of the great warriors of Israel, and a little red-haired boy can run at this guy. Because he had a promise. Samuel had said to him, you will be king. over Israel. If Goliath had taken the day, there is no more Israel. Israel ceased to exist. So there is no kingdom for the boy to take over. And if he dies in this battle, he will never see his kingship accomplished. So those two promises, I'm going to be king of Israel. Am I king of Israel right now? No. Then today, I'm not going to die. Today, you die, big boy. And I can run into this battle. I can run into this thing. You review the things that God has said to you. And you go with expectation. And what is the thing you move in when fear is amongst us? You move in faith. Faith is the opposite of fear in the kingdom. David moved with faith. Jesus moved with faith. He said, do you remember when we read? It said that they were afraid. We'll go over that again in just a minute. But Jesus said, have you no faith? Can you see the correlation there? You're afraid, but have you no faith? The opposite of the fear was faith. And so for us to move in faith is that moving in the opposite spirit that's prevailing. Fear is prevailing. I'm going to move in faith. Not presumption, not stupidity, but faith. Where I know that God is going to see me through to the other side. Where I'm moving on my promises. I'm moving in the things that God has said to me. He loves me and He has great plans for my life. And I'm the only one that can give that up. By leaving doors open in the spirit realm. By continuing on in my favorite sin activities. I leave those doors open and I circumvent my future. But if I move in faith, moving toward the things that God has called me to, you will see the victory. You will get to the other side. Yeah. So when everything was said and done, Jesus had matched a great storm with a great calm. If the enemy has created a great financial problem in your life, Jesus wants to match it with great financial blessing. If the adversary has created a great sickness in your body, Jesus wants to match it with great healing. That's his plan. If the devil has created a horrible marital mess in your life, the Lord Jesus wants to match that marital crisis with great marital blessing. Whatever the devil does, Jesus wants to match the attack with an even greater blessing in your life. Most battles that we fight don't fall into that surprise attack category. Most battles are fought because we are unfaithful to heed the Holy Spirit's warnings and to deal with some area of our life before it was out of control. Spiritual warfare isn't just a one-time thing. It's a way of life. We give up the stuff that we're not supposed to be involved in. Because we will see the victory through it. It will make a difference. Now, I want to just go back to, I'm just about done. I just want to go back to the scripture there. And it says in verse 40, he said to them, why are you so afraid? That word afraid there is delos. And it's dread, timidity. It also, by implication, means faithlessness. Now, this is out of the dictionary, right? But you can see where God is going with this. He uses specific words. So it's timid or fearful or faithlessness. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? This is a time to be exercising faith. Where can I be moving this, Lord? How can I take this territory? How can we not have to go through this again? God wants you to pass the test. He wants us all to pass the test. And they were, catch this, and they were filled with great fear. Now that fear is a whole different word than afraid. Fear here is the word, the Greek word, phobos. You ever heard phobia? Yeah. Arachnophobia. It's the legitimate, righteous fear of spiders. There's nothing legitimate or righteous about it. But arachnophobia. Anyway. Right on, David. So this one, phobos, means alarm or fright, to be afraid. Exceedingly fearful. But the second meaning for it, and the way it's used in the Bible, is reverence for one's husband. That just made me laugh. They were filled with great fear. This is the fear that came upon them when they came into the very presence of God, recognizing that this guy is not just a great teacher. This guy has authority over the wind and the waves. Who but God has that? Where does that God live right now? Woo! Yeah. In you and you and you and you and you, I think. And you. Bob's my favorite. Picking on boy. Because he has such a wonderful smile when you do it, you know. You're full of the Holy Spirit, Bob. We know that. We'll talk later. Yeah, that's the take you behind the woodshed talk. They were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" We have come into God's midst and we live with God in our midst. These guys did not have indwelling Holy Spirit, did not have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living within them. We do. He is with us all the time. He is never asleep on the cushion in the stern of the boat. He is always with us and always awake, always doing good things. Watch what he does with us. Watch coming out of what we're in right now and what he's going to do. That picture that we saw earlier of the waves overwhelming the lighthouse. The devil knew what God was about to do in these days. God was about to unleash something wonderful on a global scale. Can you see it?
Harvest.
That's it. It's about to be unleashed. And so the devil has to come with a great storm. A mega problem. The best that he's got. And put fear into the world. Right? Did a good job, didn't he? Forgetting that same God that calmed that storm on that day will be calming this storm and unleashing the harvest into the world. Can you see it happening? Can you see in the spirit realm that the devil had to make a preemptive strike at this time because God is about to move? It's on the agenda. Oh no, harvest time. Devil, what are we going to do? Ah, I don't know. Can we unleash some of those virus guys? Oh, good idea. Let's do that. That's where we're at. God is still going to do what he's going to do. Because he hasn't stopped being the supreme authority. The one that's in charge of everything. Hallelujah. Let's stand. That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Praise the Lord.
You're okay, Steve. You can sit if you want. You're good. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Can you just say that?
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's say it again.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say it like you mean it.
Thank you, Lord.
The Bible says we're to thank Jesus, thank God in everything. It also says we're to thank God for everything. How can we do that except that he is good all the time? All the time. Doesn't matter. We're feeling the effects of the wind. We can see the effects of the wind. But we know that God is good and doing something behind the scenes right now. Thank you, Lord. You're good all the time. Oh, you're so good. Thank you, Lord, for today. That we get to live in this time. Lord, let us take a preemptive strike against the enemy so as he's trying to keep us under his feet, Lord, but he's under our feet. We will stomp on his head. In this season we will defeat him. So Lord, whatever it is that keeps us bound to that guy, like the Gadarene demoniac, bound and unable to do anything but what the enemy wanted, we want to break those off. Let your wonderful Holy Spirit be free to break chains this morning, Lord, to break sin patterns, to break stuff that keeps us from doing all that God wants to do. We give it to you, Lord. And we want to be your Davids. In this season, because we have your promise and we want to be able to run at that enemy and say, today is your bad day because today you die. Because I'm going to be king and I'm going to have a kingdom. My God, my dad says that I will have an inheritance. In this life, I will have it. And so, Lord, we look to you in all of that. Let your blessing just flow over the room, Lord. Bringing healing where it's needed. Bringing prosperity where it's needed. Bringing reconciliation with family where it's needed. Your blessing, Lord. Your love. Let it flow. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.